Welcome to Everyday Driver, where cars are more than just transportation. They're freedom, a common ground, a way to grow, and can even make life better. We're here to help everyone find a car they love
and discover all the ways they connect us. I'm Paul.
I'm Todd. And this is The Car Debate.
Well, you can tell right away we're still not in studio. Well, we're back away from the studio, I should say.
We've been traveling a lot.
But this is our last shoot away from the studio for season 10. We're actually very excited. We have really cool cars with us, and we're going to do something crazy cool with a new car tonight as well.
Yeah, agreed. Well, guys, welcome back to the podcast. Happy Friday. We are thrilled you're with us. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being with us, like I said. And we're jumping right into the Toyota GR86 configurator, because it's now live, and we just decided we should build one. We're not going to dwell on it because we realize you can't see what we're building and working on, but you can go to the website and build one yourself.
Yes, and we're trying. I think you and I are going to make some different decisions, but we're also going to try to do this a little more seriously. We did this once before with a GT3
It was
Portrait,
a while back, yeah.
And we just got nuts on purpose. This is really how would we build this. And, you know, I've been thinking about this, and I actually think, for me personally, the play is to get the base and not the premium.
Really? How come?
Because I actually don't need most of the things that are in the premium upgrade. The DuckTail spoiler I really like, and that goes away, and that's a bummer.
Yeah.
But I'm not a fan of the bigger wheels on the premium, and the PS4 tires are fine, but if I'm going to buy one of these cars, I'm going to get my own wheels anyway. I'm going to use the stock wheels for winters. So save $3,000 right off the top, because mechanically they're identical. It's not like premium gets you better brakes or anything like that. It gets you extra speakers and stuff like this. It gets you a little bit of extra safety tech, like rear cross traffic is a bummer because you can't get that on the base.
Right, right.
But most everything else is exactly identical. Now, you wind up with the crappy Primacy tires.
Yeah, see, that's my biggest issue.
Agreed.
Because they're new, and it's not like you want to just take them off the car, you know, because they were new.
No, I think I would just go play Hoonigan for a while and just burn them out. And then those
17s. That'll take 45 minutes.
Exactly. And then those 17s become your winter wheel source.
Yeah.
And I buy 18 that I really like, because I don't like the 18s on the premium. I mean, this is me being totally personal, but I don't like the 18s on the premium. I would buy wheels I really like for the car.
Okay.
And I would put really nice tires on those wheels and still be ahead on money.
I mean, you're still, well, I suppose so. You're still adding $1,000, $1,500 for wheels and tires.
Absolutely. But I'm winding up with wheels that I like.
Yeah,
don't, and I don't need, personally, don't need the stuff from the factory. I mean, honestly, I really do like the DuckTail spoiler. Some people don't like it. I like it, but I'm not going to pay that money for the DuckTail spoiler, especially considering the fact at some point I'm sure you can get one aftermarket.
True. I need the DuckTail. I'm going to go premium, because I have to. I want the premium. Bring all the premiums.
All right.
I need it.
The Neptune Blue is the play, though.
Neptune blue is
that
the play.
That is so good on that car.
Yeah. This other blue is Trueno blue.
Yeah. Then that was the one they had the press launch.
And that is nice.
It's nice, but it's surprisingly dark.
It looks dark in
person.
It's
much darker than
sure.
It appears on the configurator. That Neptune blue looks really, really good. It's similar to the color you get on like the RAV4, the really bright blue on the RAV4. It's similar to that. And I think that's the play.
Yeah.
What I'm also curious about, because you know Toyota's going to do this.
No packages available.
They're going to keep... Yeah, you get the premium, you're just all in.
We're good.
The thing that's going to happen, though, you know Toyota's going to do this, is with each coming year, they're going to offer new fun colors. So while I think
that's how to keep things fresh.
Totally. I think Neptune Blue is definitely the play right off the bat. I'll be very curious to see what colors are coming. Doesn't change what we're doing right now, but I'm very curious to see where it goes in the future.
I'm not trying to play Ferrari build, but I'm wondering, would doing premium make it better for resale down the road? And not just to hold its value, but just from an appeal standpoint.
Probably a little bit.
I'm just asking, not to like spec out your Ferrari. You have the dealer help you spec out your Ferrari because they know they're going to be selling it again again.
Yeah, it happens to Porsches too. Yeah.
It's not just once. That's the beauty of Ferraris, because the dealer gets to sell them multiple times and they know this, so they help you spec it. Here's what I've got a long list of customers for just this car. Here's what they want.
Yeah, you're right.
But I'm buying it.
Well, Ferrari shields are the best example.
Yes,
you're
the
supposed
Scuderia
to get the
shields.
Ferrari shields just for resale value. Even if you don't want them, you're supposed to get them, right? Just for that?
10-inch powered subwoofer. I don't really need that. Cargo tray, black lug nuts for $215.
Yeah, that's not necessary.
I don't think so. And, oh, well, carpet trunk mat. There's a few nice things. The carpet mat package.
Yeah, I saw that, too. I think the carpet mat package is worthwhile. I think it just makes everything a little bit nicer. The only concern I have, though, is you also kind of want the all-weather mat package because, of course, where we live, we're going to get snow. Mm-hmm, so I kind of think I want the all-weather floor liners, too, just because in the winter, you're going to want those.
Do you see these GR fender vent inserts?
I'm going to go with no. I think that looks terrible.
I need to see them. I mean, the close-up cropped photo that we're looking at doesn't look great, but I'd need to see them and see if it breaks up the graphic or adds a graphic to the car.
I'm going to go with no on that. I feel pretty good about my no.
GR shift knob. No, mud guards, film. No, rear bumper applique.
Yeah.
I'm really not needing that.
I think I'm done. I got done pretty quick. I just did the two rounds of floor mats. I did the all-weather floor liners and the carpet mat package. The all-weather floor liners was $170. The carpet mat package was $250. Delivery, processing, everything. Again, I started with the base model.
Yeah, where you at
now?
And
I'm at $29,143.
Okay, I'm just $2,000 above you. I'm at $31,325, so mm-hmm. Not bad to get everything else. I mean, the price difference isn't terrible.
No, it's really not.
You know, if you want to spring for the premium, you're not adding $5,000 or $10,000.
That's true.
Which is
nice. And the way I'm looking at this here, I'm going to spend, no question, I'm going to spend $1,500 doing a new set of wheels and tires.
Right.
I'm going to be within $500 of you, roughly.
Right.
But I'm going to wind up with the wheels I really want on the car.
Okay, fair
versus
enough.
What the factory offers. And theoretically, I might even stay 17s. On my alt wheels.
Would you?
I bet you I can keep the weight down. I'd be curious. I'd have to figure out what the stock wheels weigh, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Interesting. Because I do like how those 18s set the car off.
They do look good.
They do look good. I really like the 18s.
I don't like the design of them at all. And they come in black, which is just I just don't like that.
Okay, well, I'll spend more, and I'll have them powder-coated gold. I'll take them off the car, pop
then
the tires off.
You'll look full Subaru there.
That's
with
true.
With the bright blue
Neptune. Hey, nice
Neptune
BRZ.
That, I love that. That would look cool. That would look really cool.
I'd have
cool.
to go for the Trueno blue and then powder coat the wheels gold. And then I should have just bought a BRZ.
I do like the front end better on the GR86. But
yeah,
that's interesting because the way I would spec this from the factory, it's just with delivery and everything, it's $29,100.
Yeah, that's not
so
bad.
So that's good. Then
that's
yours
firmly
is what, yours is what with
the 31,325. It was just the accessories, but I'm sure I could, you know, fix that a little bit. But that was the delivery, processing, and handling fee for $1,025.
Yeah, I've got that as well. So we're within a couple grand of each other. That's interesting, and I would fill up most of that with wheels, honestly.
Sure.
Wheels and tires. Sure. But here's the other thing about it, though. You're going to wind up with some sort of winter wheels and tires on your scenario
True.
As well.
It would bump the price
but
up then.
But you might go with cheaper wheels and tires for winter and leave your
right,
good ones on.
Right.
And you have the ducktail spoiler, which is a bummer. I'll wait like 5 minutes, and there'll be 45 aftermarket
and they'll be
ducktails.
All carbon.
You know
and
it.
You can
yeah.
get that.
Something will happen.
This is great.
Needless to say, we're very excited about the GR86. We hope you get a chance to jump on the configurator and build one yourself. What I find fascinating is there's no changes in the mechanics and the performance between mm-hmm. the two versions.
Yeah.
So you're really picking what are the other things you think you need. I am so excited about this car. I can't wait for us to cover it a lot more. We do have an episode, episode 2 of season 10. So early January, it's going to be the 7th of January, is going to be the 86 versus the MX-5 RF. And that's mm-hmm. a really cool episode. We got a really good location for that. That's going to be really fun.
We've got a great couple of debates for you guys. Neil J. in Appleton, Wisconsin, writes to us about buying a classic or a near classic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fair enough. We don't get those emails too often, but I love it. And also Daniel K. out in Virginia, who loves wagons, and he's looking for something unique. No mm-hmm. SUVs, no CUVs. He makes gagging noises. He spells out gagging noises, which is great.
Yes, he does.
So let's dive into Neil J's email here, who has a problem that will inevitably lead me to recommend the BMW Z3. What?
People have followed. You're just excited about the Z3 now. Yeah, exactly.
Hey,
that's funny.
I've rediscovered that car.
I know you have.
Love it.
It's good. It's very good.
Well, Neil needs a new weekend car on a reasonable budget of $20,000. He's 35 with no kids. He's currently driving a 2017 Fiat 124 Spider Abarth.
Okay.
You see, 5'9", 190 pounds. Size is not an issue with any vehicle.
It's the Fiata.
It's the Fiata. Yep.
He fits in it.
Indeed.
So that makes everything easy, yeah.
The twist is that he's been lusting after a classic car for as long as he can remember and is convinced He needs that experience.
Okay.
All right. He bought the Abarth as a daily in 2019. Loves it for its driving dynamics, uniqueness, looks, and the fact that it's mostly Italian.
It's Italian-ish. That's his term, and I agree with you, man. It's Italian-ish. It's Italian in body panels and one little logo on the steering wheel only. Everything else is thankfully Japanese on that
just
car.
Just don't look at the Monroney where things
so
are built.
You're so much better off that it's only Italian-ish for sure.
In April 2021, he received a company car. He puts 5,000 miles on it each month.
Wow.
Which is a 2021 Ford Escape that even looking at him makes him cry.
But, you know, hang on. I'm going to try to spin this for you, Neil. Here's the good news. You can celebrate the fact that you are beating that car that's terrible into the ground.
Oh, yeah.
You're not beating some good car into the ground with 5,000 miles a month. Now, of course, the downside is the fact you have to spend that time in that car, and that's a bummer. But also, you aren't paying for it, which is good news. There's flip sides to this, but I'm sorry. Let's get you something you love.
Well, what he can do is, as you said, put all the miles on that, and then we can get something even older,
yes,
less reliable, yes, jankier, and more questionable.
Incredibly questionable is valid.
Because you still have a car that runs.
You know
the beauty of having a car like that is when your classic car is up on its jack stands, and you need to go to the parts store to get something. You've got a car that runs. Oh, I need a tool.
Yes.
I still have a car that runs.
When it's hemorrhaging all its fluids, you have a way to get places, for sure.
Just leave it there. All right. Well, he says, the company car can be used for personal driving, but yeah, you don't want to. He will always love the Abarth. It was his first two-seater drop top, and driving it in the Wisconsin summers is glorious with the top down. He just feels he needs that true classic. He also sends us a highlight of some of the cars that he's owned, including a 1989 Dodge Daytona and a 92 Dodge Daytona IROC, both in manuals. He says the dome light came on when braking in the 89. Hey, you haven't lived till you've had the Maserati interior lights blink with every turn signal.
There you
but
go.
Only the right turn signal. The left is fine.
The left was fine.
It's like a strobe light.
It's almost like it's a feature. It's fantastic, yeah.
You had a Corrado? 1990
Those were cool.
G60
Those were very
manual.
Cool.
The engine blew after 3 weeks, but what a great 3 weeks. That's most Corrado owners, right? What else? Volkswagen Jetta, a couple of BMW 3 Series. Oh, he's had a Hyundai Veloster Turbo from 2014. And then he says the 2018 Alfa Stelvio went with the Minister of Finance when she was impeached.
Okay.
Wow. Well,
interesting is that the only reason they had a Stelvio is because when they were buying her car before she was out of office, so to speak, that he said that an Audi was not happening. And they both loved the Stelvio, but the Stelvio has gone with the Minister of Finance. Yeah.
Neil likes weird cars that non-car people wouldn't even know about. Something where no one else will be driving in Appleton, Wisconsin. I mean, the issue is you're going to be wrenching on that car because there will be no mechanics.
That is the downside. You're going to have to, I mean, that's the real question is, that's a lingering question I have for you, Neil, is if you get something weird, because I've thought of some weird ones. If you get something weird, is there somebody anywhere near you that can help you navigate that car
true.
As a mechanic? Can you find somebody that is an old Italian or old European car savant that can work on them? Because I'm concerned about finding you something that never runs, and then you're annoyed with it because you can't know enough or learn enough to get it fixed.
That's the biggest issue. But maybe he can, and maybe he'll be the go-to guy for every other owner nearby.
Neil becomes
discovers.
The savant. That's funny. I like it.
So his origin preference in this order is very important. Number one, Italian. Number two, Italian. Number three, English. Four, German. Five, Swedish. 11, Japanese. And 12, American.
Okay, so we're not... you know what he didn't list is Korean cars. Let's get a Korean car from 30 years... No, wait, that's bad.
Figaro.
Yeah,
let's
get
one of those 30 years old. The dream cars that are just out of reach are the Alfa Duetto Spider, a Beck 550 Spider. I like that one. Lancia Delta Integrale. We know where there's one available in Martini livery with a very famous paint drip on the front fender. It is part of the experience. It came from the factory with the paint drip. It's at Griot's Motors. Lancia Fulvia Zagato, Alfa GTV 2000. He says you get the idea. If you had 45 grand, the Beck Spider would likely win because it's of great value of style, cool, lightness, relative reliability. I'm with you. Beck Spiders are awesome. So here he is looking at a 70s or early 80s 124 Spider. 1971 to 74 Alfa Romeo Spider, 58 to 61 Austin Healey Bug Eye Sprite, or a Lancia Scorpion, or a Monte Carlo. What is he missing out on? Things like a Porsche 914. He is willing to spend $1,000 to $2,000 a year on maintenance and upkeep if needed.
Brace yourself. It's coming.
Is that a year or a month? What are we talking here?
He mentions that he expects it to be ebb and flow. I think you're going to have some years where the money is sprayed at the car, and then some years where it's like, oh, this year wasn't that bad.
It ran.
Yeah,
I'm having a party.
It mostly ran, yeah.
He knows there will be lean years and fat years, just as you said, and the idea of being stranded on the road for a few hours doesn't faze him at all. But good driving roads are 40 to 50 miles away, so it has to get him to the driving roads at least, even if it doesn't get him back. So he goes back and forth with this. He was going back to the 80s or 90s. Would doing that give him enough of that classic feeling? Like a Suzuki Cappuccino or a Fiat Barchetta. Those can be imported now. Yes, call Adam at Sotomoto in Seattle. He does that. He would love to entertain your call. Please tell him that we sent you and tell him what you're looking for, and he could probably do a JDM import. You know, he could probably find you any of the K cars.
He's bringing amazing stuff in now across the board. It's not just JDM stuff. He's bringing in really interesting, quirky stuff.
A lot from Canada, too.
Yes, for sure.
Which is great. So he has always also liked the 0708 Z4 Coupe. And he says, can a car with airbags make him feel the way he wants to feel? No, a car without airbags or ABS or anything really electronic whatsoever, that's, I think, what you're looking for. But he does say, no NA Miatas, please. He's driven one, and he says it's awesome, but it doesn't check the unique or great-looking boxes well enough.
I can see that. I actually can see that. Okay, good.
He loves Italians. Did he mention this?
Yeah, at least once. I got the kind of the vibe that maybe Neil wants an Italian car. let's work on it.
He wants to, every time, get out of the car, stop, turn around, and stare at it. He wants to laugh at how the gas gauge doesn't work.
We've got comedy coming your way, Neil.
This is a license for us to name the weirdness, man. But I do have some actual legit ideas for you, Neil. He wants it light and chuckable. And did he mention he loves Italians? Wow. Yeah, you must eat a lot of pasta. Now, let's dive right in. When you said small, light, immediately I thought of Lotus. But I didn't think of modern Lotuses. I thought of the Lotus Europa from like 1974.
Oh, sure.
Those things will win the lowrider contests.
All the time.
The limbo contests, by the way, just in
case. We've heard about car limbo happening, and that car just wins. It's just pretty much stock. It's so low. Yeah, for sure.
But then I've got to get all the rest of them out of my system, Neil. Like a 1974 Saab Sonnet. Crazy weirdness. How about a 68 Citroën DS21 Safari or a 1973 Matra Simca Bagheera? Yes. I'd thought of the Porsche 914. Mondials came to mind, but I don't think I can get them for your budget. Adam does have one on his website right now. It's
really?
An 83. And it's 30-ish, high 30s,
yeah,
I think.
Oh, that's a little out, yeah.
But Mondial, or one of the early Mondials? Okay, so let's get actually down to something here. Could you find a Maserati Mirage or a Bora?
It's funny, I thought of the Mirage, too.
Did you really?
That's out there. Good job.
The
Mirage like
came after the Bora, so the Bora kind of set the tone. But they were actually owned by Citroën at the time, and they did put independent suspension on it finally after all the competitors did. And that might be a consideration. I don't know how much they are. It really depends on the condition.
It does depend on the condition. I mean, you can find bring a trailer versions that are wildly out of your budget. You can find the ones that are in your budget. Because I looked around a little bit. You can find the ones in your budget, but then it's the what does it need? And it's a Mirage.
He's willing.
Most people don't even know that car exists. But I have it on my list, too. That's great that we both thought of that, because the Mirage is really intriguing.
The MR2s, the trio of MR2s came to mind.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Which do you like? How about the early one? Because you'd be wrenching on it, but or what about a super nice 2ZZ swapped Spider? Something like that.
Yeah.
Somebody did it really well. Or any of those could do. I like your 914 idea. PMB Performance, we know those folks in Salt Lake City, and they have 914s galore. I think they've got 10 of them. They specialize in 914s, primarily brake caliper rebuilds, but they're doing more stuff there. That could be an option. But the car that I think you should investigate and spend a little bit more money, because it's me, is the 1992 Ford Escort RS Cosworth.
Oh, wow.
I'm taking you down the rally route.
That's an intriguing one.
Now, I found an Escort RS in Florida with 60,000 miles. It's not the Cosworth, but it was $13,900.
Okay.
And that was from SV Classic Cars. They've got loads of what you're looking for, Neil. Loads of varied, interesting, quirky, you've never heard of us. That's mm-hmm. where I saw the Matra. I thought, that's what Neil needs. Nope, that's
no,
not
he doesn't.
What Neil needs. But then I thought, how about the Cosworth version, you know, with the double wing on the back
amazing.
Of the Escort?
Yeah, for sure.
That would be a cool car.
Yeah, it would.
It would mostly run. The problem is, most of them sell for $30,000 to $50,000.
Yeah, they're really sought after.
You have a $20,000 budget.
Yeah.
Can we bump that up for $10,000, $15,000? And I'm asking because that $1,000 to $2,000 a year in maintenance, maybe it's less. Maybe you're spending mm-hmm. more on a better car up front, but it's still unique and would run.
Yeah.
Escort Cosworth, because then people will, they will bow down when they see the Cosworth badge.
Yep.
They think, you know what you've got, my friend. You are enthusiast of the, who are you? I want to, you know, pick your brain. The Cosworth, the RS Cosworth.
Look at you. That's a good place
That's
to go.
That's where I went.
I do like this. Neil, Paul's got some great stuff already. I've got a few others I want to run through, but let's take a reality check here real quick.
Are we in reality?
You want a classic car.
Yeah.
You want an old enough classic car that I just want to float this. Classic in what you're talking about is a euphemism for does not run. Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, yes.
Yeah.
You can get ones that run, but keep this in mind as well. The ones that run are the really expensive ones.
And they've been touched by the master.
That are properly sorted.
Yeah.
So if you buy a $20,000 1960 or 70 quirky, unique car, I don't know how much it's going to actually run. So I'm not saying don't do this, but I'm just saying...
It's got the escape.
Yeah, I'm just...
Literally.
Yeah. I'm just saying, just be cautious of this. I also want to suggest this to you, because Paul's driving that 1983 928. And I'm driving a 1991 300ZX as our cars from the past. I think you'll be surprised at how classic those feel.
Yeah.
We didn't go back to the 60s and 70s. We went back to the 80s and 90s, the Radwood era stuff. When I drive it, I am consistently surprised at how classic it feels, how from another era it feels. We are 30 years from those cars, and it feels every bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take away their enjoyment, but it feels like they are old. It feels like they are, and I actually mean that as a compliment here, because you're looking for a classic. It feels like, oh my gosh, we don't have this anymore. But it's a car from the 80s or 90s. That doesn't feel old. So I don't know you have to go back that far. I love your Alpha Spider idea, but don't do 60s and 70s. Do the 80s.
Do the late
80s, early 90s, when they finally just barely left the market. But those were, at that point, kind of sorted. It's a more modern car with some more modern features. I don't think it's going to not have the feel you want because it got up into the 80s and 90s. So consider that, which brings us back to that MR2 you were bringing up, Paul. I mean, I think that era of stuff is really good. You'd like a Beck 550 Spider, and I think that's awesome.
Scrumptious.
And they're very cool, but have you considered the 356 replica? The vintage Speedster or the Beck 356? I mean, this is not the actual 356s, which go for money that makes no sense to me. But okay. But
$400,000 for an original.
Seriously. But with your money, get yourself... Watch our Pacific Coast Highway piece. We drove that and the Shelby, the Daytona replica, okay? That 356 surprised both of us. Now, it's not... I'll be honest with you. It's not my thing. It really isn't. Mm-hmm. And I'm too big for the car. But you won't be too big for the car. And I think it is your affordable entrance into what you want that 550 Spider to be.
It's a good idea.
I think 356 is maybe your thing. I thought of this. Triumph TR7 convertible.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
You will never see another one. There was one that came to Cars and Coffee in Park City a couple times, and I could not believe it. And this dad was teaching his 16-year-old daughter to drive it. And I was like, you are my new hero. You're in Park City.
Had the V8?
I don't remember.
But
you're in Park City in a TR7 convertible manual, and your daughter's learning to drive. He was my hero for the day, for sure. So Triumph TR7 is cool. You brought up the Alfa Mirac, which I like.
Maserati Mirac, yeah.
Thank you. And that also made me think of the Alfa GTV, which you mentioned the 2000, but my thinking is just any GTV from the 70s. I had a friend of mine in high school that had one. His dad worked for the local Alpha dealer in Houston right before they closed.
Oh, man.
And he got his son an old GTV, and it was by far the coolest car in the parking lot. But I think once a month, this guy, Bill, wasn't in the GTV, was in some other family car, because guess what? It was back in the shop.
Amazing.
But it was beautiful, and I liked it, but I didn't fully connect with it at the time. I think the me from now would just be like, I just want to have your car all the time. It was really, really cool. So those are fun.
Mm-hmm.
But a car that I think may check every box, and it's not on your radar right now, and you walked near it, but you didn't get there quite. And this is my last one for you, Neil. It's not Italian, but it has styling that you're going to, if you like it at all, you're just going to be like, that's my car, I can't believe it, in that Italian way.
Okay.
You're never going to see another one. And the number one reason I don't like them is because I simply do not fit, but you will.
Okay.
AutoZam AZ1.
Yeah, that's awesome.
With the gullwing doors. That, because I'll tell you right now, Neil, honestly, I liked that thing enough that if I fit, I would buy one. I really, really liked that car. It spoke to me in all of those quirky, fun, ridiculous ways that I like a car to be. It
That's
was
awesome.
Fantastic looking. It was light. It was interesting. It was fun to drive. It was the weirdest thing in the parking lot everywhere you went.
It was pretty cool.
But I'm like Sasquatch in Barbie's Corvette in that thing. I am way too big. When I first sat in it, Adam at Soto Moto was actually a little guy. And when I sat down in the AZ1, he got this really concerned look on his face, and he said, let's see if we can get the door closed.
Yeah.
And it barely fit.
Yeah. It was.
So you at 5'9 are going to have no issues, and you're going to like that car. And literally, the thing that keeps me from owning one is the fact that I simply do not fit. So I think you need to take a look at the AutoZam AZ1 and be the coolest kid in class. Those are so fun.
Those are cool. Actually, they look like a little Ferrari when they're cruising around.
They look like nothing else.
They don't look Japanese to my
Everybody
eye.
Looks at that and goes, what is that
thing? Yeah.
And we talked about it in our episode. We drove those cars.
Yeah.
The Cappuccino is surprisingly stealth for being a car that
it
nobody knows
so
what it is.
It's so fun.
It's very fun.
It was great.
But it looks enough like a Miata that you just don't notice. But the AZ1 is, I don't care what you're driving, everybody's looking at that car going, what is that
And
thing?
It's so tiny.
Yes.
You know, it's got that going for it.
I think that's the weird wild card there, Neil, that just might work. And I think it will run, too.
It'll run. And that's the thing. I mean, we acknowledge the Italians, but do you have to get the Italian car just to do it? You know, I'm wondering, is that a third car? Is that a fourth car? You know what I mean? Down the road, and you save that for the project. You're working on it yourself. You're getting to it as you can, and it'll be the showpiece for you later on, because all the things from those old cars, like tire sizes, 14-inch tires, 15-inch tires,
good
16s
luck.
Are hard to find, 17s are the new 15s.
You're right. You're so right.
That's just modern, I need tires at my local tire shop kind of thing, and they'll look at you strangely. Windshields. You get a cracked windshield.
Oh,
ooh,
man. We found out the AZ1 was $3,000 for a windshield because no one has them.
Right.
I may have just talked you out of that car.
You can import them.
Yeah.
You can get them. They're just $3,000
in
this little tiny piece of glass. So those are my concerns for the really old Italian stuff that's so obscure that just the regular parts that do wear out. Tires, windshields, you know, little things like that. Just bulbs. Where
you'd
do you
be
get
shocked
stuck?
How hard it is to get 15 or 16 inch tires.
Yeah.
It's really surprising.
That's my biggest concern.
There's one I actually forgot to mention while we're talking, and it's my other wild card for you, Neil. I should mention it here real quick, and that is the 1970s Opel GT. There aren't very many
those
around.
Those are cool.
But they look kind of like a 1970s version of the first 86. Did you think about that?
Yeah.
The styling is similar.
Okay.
But you just don't see those cars. The last time I saw one, it was beat, but they just attract attention.
Yeah.
So if you could find it, and they're not, and
they're
not
tiny.
They are little, but they're not unusably small. And the thing is, they haven't turned. They haven't turned to be like the those are flying up. They're just out there for the people that want to find them. Okay. So an Opel GT could be an interesting oddball here too. It's going to take a lot more love than that AZ1 though.
That's for sure. Well, if you've got a debate like Neil's or any debate, write to us, everydaydrivertv@gmail.com. We love hearing from you guys. Topic Tuesdays, car debates, car conclusions, and you definitely are. We really appreciate it. We need to get back to some car conclusions very soon because you guys are letting us know, and that's awesome. Fantastic. But yes, classic cars, we're not trying to play stump the chump. We're just saying we like challenges. We like, mm-hmm. Branching out into classic cars and just having the freedom to talk about these cars.
Yeah.
Because they do fit somebody's need. I love it. Neil, thank you for your email.
You're going to have the need to work on it. My friend Paul tells me I'm always supposed to wash a car in a cool, shady spot. I don't always do that well, but I do use the Brilliant Finish Foaming Sprayer, or actually I use the Boss Foam Cannon from Griot's Garage. You have to use this. It's awesome. If you're a person like me who's not good at this, it makes it far easier. You create a high foam blizzard right in your driveway with little to no work, which I really like. You avoid wash-induced scratches. It is the safest way to wash your car. Try the Griot's Garage Foaming System Complete Kit today and see what the foam is all about.
Griot's also has a full ceramic family of products, including Speedshine, Wash & Coat, and 3-in-1 Wax.
All Griot's Garage products are 100% guaranteed, and all liquid products are made in the USA. When you're ordering at griotsgarage.com, use the code EDRIVER for 15% off liquids and 10% off everything else on your order. That's Griots. Enjoy the finest quality car care products you can buy at griotsgarage.com.
Daniel writes in from Virginia and says he loves wagons. That reminds me, we're actually in L.A. doing a very quick, like, in-and-out shoot for Season 10. We're shooting, I have to say it, the Honda Civic Si, the brand new one, versus mm-hmm. the Mark 8 GTI, which we haven't driven until this trip. We're very excited about this Camaro. That'll be episode 4 of Season 10. That is happening. We're excited. We were picking up the press car tonight, and lurking in the corner was a black with silver accented Audi RS6, and we were just drawn to that car and walked around it for a few minutes. Had like a caramel interior. It looked really, really mean and great. So Daniel likes wagons. He's got a small family living in Virginia himself, his wife, a tall teenager, and two medium dogs. Family car is a 2013 140,000-mile Prius.
Yay!
And the fun car is an Audi A3. He's realizing that the Prius is probably going to go to that tall teenager. The Minister of Finance typically drives the A3, but the A3 is probably going to go. That's where the fun starts.
Daniel, you know how we all have those fun stories about your first car? You're perpetuating that because your son will say, "Thanks, Mom and Dad, for giving me the Prius."
Yeah.
"Hey, what car did you have, your first car?" "I got a Prius."
"I got a Prius."
"Beat down." Yeah. I love it. It's fantastic. Well, right now, Daniel drives the Prius. Minister of Finance drives the A3. She is the breadwinner, works full-time. Daniel works part-time, and he's the homemaker. Now, his son is 13, so he'll need a car in a few years, and they bought this Prius 7 years ago before they knew anything about cars and before he caught the disease.
And meanwhile, his wife has kind of come along, too. She doesn't have a full-blown case of the disease, but she's following along going, "Yeah, this is kind of cool, too."
Right, right. Their thoughts are that they should sell the A3 now, while it's still under 100,000 miles, mm-hmm. and let their son inherit the Prius as the first car. We'll see how long it lasts. So they'll need to acquire two cars.
Like that.
Now, she really wants an electric vehicle, but would accept the right plug-in or hybrid, and currently she's lusting after the Mustang Mach-E. With a budget of $50,000, I say go drive one. If you haven't already, go drive one. And, by the way, Daniel, our triple electric SUV comparison, comparing the Tesla Model Y, the Volkswagen ID4, and that Mach-E is mm-hmm. up on YouTube right now. It just dropped just a few days ago. So check that out. We like that Mustang Mach-E. The Mustang part of it is, it continues to be debatable. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, we came away going, this is better than you might think.
We don't like it because they called it a Mustang.
No.
The fact that it's a Mustang has got people talking about it, but that's really, really not the point. Yeah.
If you approach it not from a this is a Mustang standpoint, much like mm-hmm. you could approach Porsche 996 from, well, it's not the most amazing Porsche ever, but as a sports car.
Sure.
This is great.
That's a good comparison. That I do
kind
like
of
that.
Thinking.
That's excellent. Yep.
All right. So he wants a reasonably reliable and comfortable used car that has decent dynamics. He would prefer a wagon, but won't turn up his nose at a sedan. That's a good thing. The Acura TSX wagon from 2011 and 2012 is one of those few that come to mind. Mm-hmm. He says maybe a Mazda 3, but the sedans he's considered are the Mazda 6 and the Accord with a budget of $15,000.
Okay, like it.
No SUVs, no CUVs. But he says if the Minister of Finance gets a Mach-E, that would, of course, check the practicality box. Mm-hmm. The whole family could fit in it, certainly more than the A3.
Yeah, for sure.
But where does he go from here? Now, he has learned to wrench on the Toyota, but he says just beginner stuff, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. Air filters, oil changes, sway bar links, tire rotation. That's actually pretty good, Daniel.
Yeah,
I'm
good
impressed.
For you. Yeah.
So, what are we looking for? I've got ideas for you, and I love that you want a wagon, and I think we can get you into a wagon. Mostly, you know, I started out looking at Jaguar XF sport brakes, thinking 15,000, nope, 50.
Nope.
Darn it.
Not going to happen. Yep.
Dang.
Yep.
They're $48,000, $49,000, but let's say you just wanted to spend as much money as your wife is spending on her Mach-E, you could get a sweet XF sport brake for about the same money. Just saying, they're beautiful, they're unique, you don't see them everywhere, you can fit in it. What a unique combination.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
But I'll stick to close-ish to the budget.
Okay, good.
I thought, I liked your TSX sport wagon. Those are within your budget.
They are cool.
2011, 2012. Cadillac CTS wagon, you can't get the V.
Nope.
Do you like the styling enough, and can you live with the Q system?
Mm-hmm. From this is a question.
Past decade. But you could also look at the mid-2000s, the BMW E90 generation wagons. Those are still...
Those
low
are rare, enough. But they're cool.
They are. If you search hard enough, you might be able to find a manual if you want one.
Mm-hmm.
And those are great looking.
They are surprisingly cool. I haven't
beautiful.
Seen one in forever, but they're very cool. Yeah,
it's the same kind of thing. When you know enthusiasts see a Jaguar XF sport bike, they just lose their minds. Same thing with the older BMWs that didn't cost a whole lot. This is a true enthusiast. However, the cars that I think you should pursue, based upon your growing wrenching abilities, and based upon my thinking that enthusiasts perpetuate cars just by owning them, regardless if they have high miles or not. That is the 1995 to 1996 Volvo 850 T5R wagon.
Look at you, the box, the bread van that
the
they
bread
raced.
Van, the one that really makes enthusiasts freak
out.
People
like,
when they
where did
see
that
him.
Come from? You will win Radwood with that car, yeah.
Here's the deal. Daniel, I found a 1996 sedan, 850R, with 154,000 miles for $15,998, so $16,000. Now, you might turn up your nose because it's got 154,000 miles. However, those special cars are usually better cared for throughout their lives. They're driven hard, but they're better cared for.
That's a fair point.
Because of their specialness, their uniqueness, they're a high-performance car. They're not just your average Accord and Mazda 6 that's been driven, beat on, and here it is, it's a low price. They're special. They're high miles, but they're designed for high miles.
Mm.
154. When you look at in context of many Volvos that have 200, 250, 400,000 miles, 154 doesn't look too bad at this point, especially if it's been maintained. This one is in red with those black wheels. They're beautiful. They came in that buttercup yellow for a while.
Must we?
Oh, they're just, they're cool. And they're vintage. If you could pull it off, if you wanted to, and look at it this way, because further up here in your email, you said you work part-time and you're the homemaker. It's not like you're going to be piling the commute miles on them.
True, true, true.
You'll take it out for fun drives. They'll run great. And I think those cars, parts will be in high demand. And the reason I say this is I don't know what Volvo does. But I found out at any Porsche dealer, you can walk in and order any part for any Porsche going back to the 356s right there on the parts manager's desktop computer. They just look through their catalog and say, here's the price. You know, it's going to take a long time, but we can get it for you. Do you want to buy it? And that's amazing support. I don't know what Volvo support is,
but
I know the community still is huge around those cars. People love those cars. So I'm just asking you, if you're working part-time, could you rock an 850R sedan or wagon and just be the man?
That's interesting.
For 15 or 16 grand.
All right. All right.
That's my choice for you.
That's really good. Daniel, I love that you both have the disease. I love that you've been stricken with a major case and your wife's going, so what's this? What are we doing? Let's get excited.
What's all this then?
I think that's wonderful. I hope that your son drives the Prius and then appreciates cars beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think he drives the Prius. Look, there was a stat for a while in Los Angeles, so it makes me think of it, where a brand new 16-year-old driver had a more than 50% chance of having a major wreck in the first year. That's a scary stat for parents everywhere. So the Prius may be perfect. We'll see where that goes. I like that your wife is very much considering the Mach-E. I think that is a great solve. I love that solve for her for 50 grand. I do want to note, you said how much you hate SUVs. Technically, that Mach-E is one.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think you take it out of consideration. I think the fact that you like it, you should actually go look at it. And let's be honest, it's that SUV in the modern definition. It is more large lifted hatchback than it is SUV. I think that's a great call. But she really should cross-shop that with the Tesla Model 3.
Okay.
It's the most accessible car they make. Don't get the Model Y. Get the Model 3. Or a used Model S. I still think the Model S is the best car they make.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you could get a Model S that's a few years old, doesn't have huge range, but those are excellent. I really, really like the Model S. And I'm not talking about the new latest and greatest plaid, whatever, platinum version. The Model S is just, it's been their workhorse
platinum,
car.
Tartan, houndstooth.
Seriously.
What are we driving?
All of the above. So I really think she should look at those two Teslas because they are worth it. And it's a great cross-shop comparison to the Mach-E to see the difference in how they're being done and to see what really connects with her. Where I'm confused, Daniel, is the fact that your wife is going to go get the practical car. Yeah. It's EV and it's big.
Yeah.
And I understand that. You still come back to, I still want a wagon. Now, look, we're automotive journalists. We're supposed to love wagons, and they're cool. But you don't need a wagon.
Don't need a wagon. You might just want it.
I'm confused as to why wagons are the thing. So what that made me think about was, what about work more in the front-wheel drive hatchback world for something a little more fun? Because, look, the TSX is cool, but you don't need that car. If your wife gets the big SUV or the Model 3 or something like that, there's your family car. So I went a few places. Now, you've said 15 grand. I'll be honest, I went above that budget on a few of these because I think they're good and you're going to like them. Plus, I'm trying to find an alt to the electric car you have. What about a Veloster N? I'm talking used now. Truthfully, you aren't going to find one of those for below about 20.
They're hot.
Above your budget,
they're
but
great.
They're great. It's the three-door quirky wagon. Okay, so there's that.
Yeah.
What about the Mercedes GLA AMG 45?
Sure.
That is, honestly, that's a hot hatchback. It's not an SUV in spite of how they build it. That is a worthwhile one. Look at the Mini Cooper. The Mini Cooper is a wagon. I had my back seats removed on mine, and it made it a total little bread van. If that's not enough space for you, look at the Mini Clubman. You don't see a ton of those. They have the Mini Dynamics in a more traditional wagon shape. You can sometimes get the barn doors on them. Mini Clubman might be the fun.
That's
for
all
you.
Wagony and everything.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
It's little. Because what I want for you, Neil, is, Daniel, is I want you to have something that really elevates your desire to want to drive and be fun. I want to get you into something with good driving dynamics, and that's not typically a big wagon. So that's why I really wonder about that Mini or maybe just a Clubman and enjoy it there. I kind of am landing there. I mean, I like things like going away from wagons. I like the Genesis G70 and the Alfa Giulia, and I think you would really benefit from owning a rear-wheel drive car and having that experience. I like that for you very much, but I don't know that you're going to find anything in your budget. But Minis, they're out there, man. So I'm kind of going to land there.
I love it. Daniel, write to us with your decision, whatever you get, and send pictures of your wife's new Mustang Mach-E.
Yeah, whatever it is.
We're big fans of Hagerty, and you've heard us talk about Hagerty. But I don't think we've mentioned this new offering they announced late last year, Garage and Social. It's like a big, fun clubhouse for car lovers. Each physical location offers climate-controlled storage, complete vehicle maintenance and service, plus tons of events and experiences exclusively for their members.
You don't even have to own a car to be part of this club. They've got social memberships available that give people all the perks without the storage. There are many locations already, Chicago, New York, Delray Beach in Florida, and Miami too. And they're not slowing down either. They're announcing new locations all the time.
We're just waiting for the announcement that they're opening a Park City location, hopefully soon. Learn more about this exclusive car club and storage facility at garageandsocial.com.
Ghosty Miata asks, if Lotus and Porsche offered to repaint our cars for free with any factory color, would you, and what color? Well, ruby red with gold wheels. We're
of
done.
Of course you would. Of
Have you seen a Cayman in ruby red?
Yeah, it's a good
bringing
good
back
call.
The 80s colors.
It's a Good call. You know what? I actually love the yellow on my Elise, and it desperately needs to be repainted. So my easy answer is it needs a repaint in the same one it is. The one that I have, there's a couple of different yellows. The yellow that I have has some blue flake in it. You get it out in the sunlight.
Oh, does it?
And it's got a little bit of a shine to it that there's a different yellow they have, and I forget the two different names. Different yellow they have that doesn't have that off-color flake in it. It isn't nearly as interesting. Hmm. Now, my paint is beat on, so it probably needs to be repainted. However, the Krypton green that they did...
Oh,
I loved that.
Do you really?
I do really like
that. I didn't
know that. I would totally go with that. You just don't see very many of those.
And that's
that would be really
flavor.
Fun as well. Absolutely.
Like it.
Ted Theologan, hey, party on, Ted. He said, road trip to Alaska in a sports car. Great idea or greatest idea? Ted, my
wow.
friend, this is so under my skin. I have been talking about this for years. You know what? Bonus points, Ted. Let's go in the winter. I would love to do... If you're going, man, let me know. I may go with you because I would love to do this. I think doing it is fantastic. Tom Ford, who is an amazing British automotive writer, a few years ago for Top Gear magazine, did a piece right when the latest ND Miata came out.
Mm-hmm.
He picked it up in Anchorage. I don't know how he negotiated that, but he picked it up in Anchorage. And he drove it to the Arctic Circle, where it's just ice road truckers and him, a Mazda Miata, and he forced himself to keep the top down the whole time. He didn't like the fall. It was a brutal trip. But
he did
I just,
mention some regret about
totally.
Forcing himself to keep the top down.
I read that article and just thought, that sounds fantastic. And the idea of doing the Alcan Highway, now the problem, there are multiple, but the problem with the Alcan Highway is, it's like 3,500 miles, buddy. It's a long way.
Yeah.
And it's not a long way through much of anything. So I am so intrigued by this idea. I love that you're thinking about it. There's a guy that we actually follow on Instagram. I believe it's Brian's Questionable Decisions.
Yeah, with the Ferrari.
He is driving I think it's a 328. It's not a 308. I think it's a 328.
Yeah,
he's driving a Ferrari 328 everywhere, and he's done Alcan Highway, and he's done all of the stuff you would never imagine a Ferrari. He's got a roof rack on the top. He fixed it on the side of the road. Follow him because his stuff is fascinating. And
really
it just
is.
Makes me want to go even more. Where are we going, Ted? Where are we going?
I mean, the winter, I'm not convinced, but I'd do it the summer. My family has actually done it. Everybody has done it. My dad used to live in Alaska for a long time. He lived there 15 years, and he did it with his boss. They owned an aviation insurance company there. And his boss bought a Z4.
I remember.
And they did the whole Alcan down to Vancouver and then drove it all the way back up. And the Alcan doesn't actually start until
like
Prince
White
George
fish,
or
White
something.
Horse, something like that, something up
it's,
there.
It's way up there until
yeah.
it actually starts. So you're still driving a long way until the official road starts.
Oh, man.
But they did it together, and he got it up to 120, and they were hitting the frost heaves at that speed. Like, Dad, I didn't know this. You were
I
doing that?
I so want to do this.
It's amazing.
That just sounds awesome.
So I'd do it. I'd like to do it, summer, spring, fall, winter, just, I don't know. I'm not.
There's that ridiculous part of me, and you and I have talked about it before.
Yeah.
There's that ridiculous part of me that wants to be the guy that pulls up in the sports car after dark and rolls into the roadhouse.
But it's
side
always
thing.
Dark.
Exactly.
Thing.
And everybody else is there in big SUVs and whatever. And yes,
yeah.
I'm the guy in the sports car. I just want to have that experience, but I'm a little nuts. Damn it, Patton has one of those questions that's almost fighting words.
Mm-hmm.
He says, when you encounter someone who's driving, he says, let's say, automotively challenged. So let's just put a pin on it. They're driving terribly. You encounter somebody on the road and they're driving terribly. They're outside the lines, they're driving erratically, whatever. What kind of person are you? Are you a stay back and keep your distance? Are you a pass and put some distance between you and them kind of person? Damn it, Patton, my answer here is always to pass, because my concern is if they're going to cause a problem in front of me, if they're going to run into something or cause a problem, then they're going to pile up everybody behind them. I don't want anything to do with that person causing an issue. So
yep.
I'm going to look for my opportunity to get around. Because, of course, this is the flip side. You can't control another person's driving. You can't make them drive well. And you giving them distance isn't going to necessarily improve their driving. So the hard part with a situation when it gets really bad is how can you find a comfortable place to pass, a safe place to pass that person, depending on how erratic they're being. The other thing I find horrifying is how often when you pass this person, it is because they are looking at their phone.
Yeah, I hate to say that. That just grinds me. Let's see, Peter, are you there? Says, it sounds like Porsche might be developing a bigger SUV up from the Cayenne. Thoughts, wish list, rants? Well, my rant is, what object bigger than the space shuttle needed towing?
What? Nice. What? Good reference. You're
what
right.
We,
you're
what right. What needs towing? Something right. needs towing that
that's
needs
funny.
A bigger Porsche SUV.
What are we
going to
do? The diesel? Yeah, oh, that's very.
And
funny.
They did it with like the
that.
Diesel. Yeah.
That's
and
good.
The,
that's very
everything.
Funny.
But come on, they're responding to the market, and I realized. I know car companies have done this since the late 20s when Harley Earl reinvented cars as an object of desire, and then they morphed into, you know, how does it fit family needs? But it just seems like the buyer, there aren't very many car companies dictating what they think people should buy. It's completely opposite nowadays. Porsche, kind of, because it's sort of like, here's a 911, you want a 911, have a 911.
Here we have a 911. For
they're
you,
great,
yes.
You know, but it just seems like consumers these days are, stop buying white cars and stop buying white Outbacks, you know.
Yeah.
There's other things out there. There really are. Mm-hmm. But the buying habits are so strong that car manufacturers can't scramble fast enough to build. Well, they want a 7-passenger SUV. We don't have anything like that. We don't even have a platform. We're going to have to go to Audi to go over there and get theirs because I know the big ones are coming.
The Atlas Q7 Urus, it's all the same platform. Let's just make our 7-seater version of that for Porsche. Yay!
Ferrari is fallen victim to this with the Puro Sangue SUV.
Yep.
They have said for years, we're never doing an SUV. And then the market moved, and that's what people are buying. And if you want to stay in business and make any money, guess what you're going to build?
Well, and let's be honest, the SUV saved Porsche.
It did. You're right.
Them considering, and the Macan, when they introduced that, the smaller Cayenne, instantly became their best-selling car, above everything else.
Yeah.
So as much as I hate this...
You know what I mean?
There's a segment of the market that is going to buy a 7-seat Cayenne, whatever they're going to call that, the Cayenne XL. What is it going to be? But they'll buy it.
It's
going to
be another spicy name.
Seats. You know it. Woohoo!
But yeah, I just think car companies are almost victims to customers, and that's why the GR86 feels so refreshing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's Toyota. They do all the rest of the stuff and respond to market forces.
Yep.
But now they're just giving it to you, offering it on sale. The Supra too, we did it.
Mm-hmm.
Buy it or don't. Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
And they've said, this is the thing that really surprised me, because Toyota was talking with us about their sales targets for the Supra.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And telling us that the sales targets were low enough that they're hitting them.
Yeah.
The car is selling every bit as well as they wanted it and needed it too.
Yeah.
They set very realistic sales targets for, and clearly they set them for the FRS too, because we have a second gen.
Right.
No part of me thought that car was going to sell well enough to get a second gen. I thought it was going to be one generation and done with
you
the 86.
That?
I am amazed we have a second gen and the amount of development dollars they've done on it, because they set realistic expectations of it. Doesn't need to be a halo car as far as sales are concerned, but we want to have something in our market that says, look at us, we care about driving. That's worth applauding,
that
for sure.
That feels so refreshing to me.
Riley likes cars. I'm helping a friend of mine pick up a 2015 Mercedes S63 AMG from Burbank. Very cool. And driving it back to Boise, Idaho. Is it too cold to drive it through the Angeles Crest Forest or through Vegas on all seasons? Any recommendations for the long drive? You're fine on those tires. You're absolutely fine. Look, it's also been a really dry winter so far, and it's been a very warm winter so far. We're in Los Angeles. We're expecting here in early December to be shooting in T-shirts at 75-degree weather. So between here and Boise, yeah, you're going to find cold, but you're on all seasons. If you told me you were on major like summer performance tires, maybe there's some caution. But you on all seasons the whole way. Plus, Angeles Crest Forest, what you're going to wish is you had some more high-performance tires. The all-seasons are going to be fine. You're not going to have any problems. You're just not going to be able to... You're going to hear them screaming, I guarantee you. I think you're going to have a great drive. The question is just, how much time do you have? Because if you have time, then you shouldn't take 15 up and get home. You should go up through Vegas, and then you should drop at St. George in Utah. You should come up through the center of Utah and do Highway 12 and take time coming up through Utah.
Yeah.
And don't do the 15. But that's going to take you a couple more days to do that. So if you've got more time, what you do is you get off the major interstate, you take the squiggles, you'll have a great time. And southern Utah is still going to be plenty warm for that.
Totally.
But it's just going to depend on your time frame.
Barrett Juro asks, if we believe in buying a car you cherish could be a mistake, don't meet your heroes. If so, how do we all determine where to draw the line? I thought that the cars that we cherished only became cherished objects by virtue of owning them before. How do we know that we cherished a car unless we owned it already? That's why these cars of the past are back in our lives, because we did cherish them. Mm-hmm. You didn't know that when you bought the Z. You thought it'd be a fun sports car. Yeah. I'll have it for a year or two, get rid of it, move on to something else.
But I think he's talking poster cars. Do you buy the cars you always dreamed of?
Certainly. Of course, it depends on budget.
Yeah.
That's a tough one, because sitting in a DeLorean is not a good experience. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to drive it.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting in many of the mid-80s Ferraris is an uncomfortable, sticky, nasty experience. And I say sticky because of the buttons. You all know about the buttons.
Oh, yeah.
And there's people who have a business just replacing buttons in F-355s. Like, you can make a living doing that. What? So I think definitely drawing the line that you definitely have to drive it. You definitely have to know, because you'll think, this is the best thing ever. Have you ever sat in a BMW M1? An M1 from the late 70s, early 80s? That thing is weird. It's small. It's uncomfortable inside. It's a boxy instrument panel.
Yeah, yeah.
Driving the Lamborghini Countach was less of a fun experience than watching it on the freeway and being behind it.
Sure.
The people looking at it moving were having more fun than driving. Now, the one we drove, we didn't exactly dip into high RPM because
we were limited by the owner. Yes,
we didn't thrash on it, and I'm sure it's a lot of fun to all the thrashing mechanics.
But you are aware of the fact that you're entertaining everyone else when you drive that car,
because it's you're uncomfortable. Yeah, you're watching. Clear. You're freaking out. Okay, don't get too close. You know, you're just
totally
hyper aware. So it very much depends on the car, but ultimately you've got to drive it before you even make a decision. You've got to get seat time, because you might come away thinking, what a wonderful object for other people to own, for me to still look at on my poster wall. You know, I don't want to drive it.
You've got to get some driving experience in it. And the other thing I think that is a draw the line thing is, let's say you drive this hero car and you still like it and you want to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
The question to ask yourself is, will you actually drive it?
Right.
Or will you put it in your garage and be excited you have it, and then constantly, because here's how you know that you have a problem with not driving it, is if you're prone to make excuses for why you shouldn't take it.
Right.
You have somewhere you need to go in your car, in a car, and you have your dream car sitting in the garage. The poster car is sitting in your garage, and you need to go get milk, and you go, yeah, but I shouldn't take that car because... That's a problem, because that excuse keeps becoming larger, and then there's never a reason to take that car, and now that's a car you shouldn't own.
Yeah.
If you think, and look, I'll point the finger right back at me. When it is summertime, there are times when I'm going to go do something, and I could take the Lotus, and I don't. And 9 times out of 10 when I don't, I just think, why didn't I take the Lotus?
Sure.
What excuse did I make?
Sure.
I love that car. Well, I'm going to get drive-through. You know what? That's harder in the Lotus. But okay, let's take the Lotus. So they have to reach way down. It's funny.
You have to rev the engine to let them know you're under the window.
Hi, excuse me.
I'm down here.
Hello. Yes, way down here.
Just
please
drop in the food.
Yep, exactly. I'm the one looking at the rear axle of the SUV in front of me. Dammy asks a cool question. He says, the F-Type is his attainable dream car. Even though he thinks the first gen looks better than the refresh, he thinks it's pretty. He doesn't know that he'll ever be able to get one, which brings him to affordable alts and a great question. He says, the first gen 2012 to 2014 Hyundai Genesis 5-liter V8 R-Spec.
Oh.
Is this an affordable alt to the Pontiac G8 or Chevy SS? He acknowledges that he knows it's not quite the handling car of those. This was the weird bridge era for Genesis, when they were still the Hyundai Genesis. They made that, okay. I think this is a really intriguing alt. The question I have for you, Dammy, is because that was the bridge era, what do those cars feel like now? Have you been in one? I haven't been in one that is that old. I mean, we're talking 6 to almost 10 years old now. how have they held up? Because I feel like that era of Hyundai was definitely an era, and people still accuse them of this, where really good new, but 40,000 miles, they felt like 80,000.
Oh, sure.
What kind of shape are those cars in after the years and miles? And if they've held up pretty well, I think that is a fantastic alt, man. That's a really cool thought.
Eric P. asks if he should let paint color cloud his car shopping.
Mm.
He greatly prefers red, but should he also look for yellow or orange or any other cool colors? Is he holding himself back from finding a good deal? He doesn't want any monochrome colors in his garage.
Bravo.
We applaud you. Love it. I think maybe a bit, because especially in today's car market, the color you want might not be for sale.
Mm-hmm.
You're finding a great deal and it's white. And it's everything I've wanted and it's white.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? Wraps. Wraps are the answer.
Sure, that's possible, yeah.
$3,000 to $6,000 depending on the car, depending on who mm-hmm. does it, the size. But otherwise, that's your solve. And what a great time you could have picking out the new color for your wrap.
Sure, yeah, that's possible.
And you can change wraps. I mean, I know it's expensive, but nevertheless, yeah, you can change in 3 to 5 years or something like that. But nevertheless, I think wraps are a legitimate solution to getting the car. If you see a deal, it's the right one, and the paint color is the only tick in your mind that, I'm almost there. What if you wrapped it?
Mm.
That could solve a lot.
That's interesting, Eric. I actually thought about this question, too, because I think what you have to do, and I say this just coming from my personal approach here, I think you have to have the palettes you're okay with. I mean, look, I understand. If you don't want a, and I'm this way, you don't want a silver car, you don't want a gray car, you don't want a white car, those are out. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to buy one of those. I get it. But then I typically have 3 or 4 colors that I find that I like on a car. And I'll give you an example. When I bought my Elise, I actually don't like the Elise in red.
Hmm.
But I was perfectly happy with Krypton green, or their blue, or they've got like a wine Bordeaux color.
Yeah, it was very eggplanty.
Or, of course, yellow. And I got the yellow. And I was perfectly happy with the car in any of those colors and would happily have bought it. You're only looking for red. I think you've got to go, do I like it in any other colors? When I looked at my Z car, I found a blue one I really liked, but they're very rare. And the blue one that I found, I kind of was a bit suspect.
Yeah, I was sketchy.
So then I saw this red one. And the red is not my favorite color on the Z, but it's also the color that is most iconic on that car. And I thought, that's a car I'll get in red.
Sure.
So I went with it in red, even though my first choice was actually something else. I think you've got to broaden your color palette, but at the same time, hold off. If you find a color you don't like, don't buy a car in a color you don't like.
Sure, fair enough. Thank you for all your questions. We sure appreciate it. We're always looking forward to next time, but we're wrapping up. This is episode 6 of season 10, which begins January 1st, 2022. We can't wait to share this new season with you.
Huge.
And by the way, season 9 is now fully available on Amazon Prime.
And if you haven't seen it yet, it dropped yesterday, our 90s piece, which was the 300ZX, the Supra, and the RX-7 on the main YouTube channel. It dropped yesterday. It is a recut from the TV version. It has a different opener. It has about 25% more footage because we had more stuff than the TV episode allowed us to have for time. So we recut it for YouTube. It just dropped yesterday. If you haven't seen it, please watch it. If you've seen the TV version, it's not the same version, please watch it and pass it on to somebody who likes those 90s heroes cars.
We're looking forward to next time. As always, cheers, everyone.